own this thing. It's ours. Come on, let's go. Duval County and 904, let's own this stadium. Make it ours.
Welcome to the Urban Meyer Show.
Urban Meyer Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Urban Meyer Show starts right now.
Welcome in the Urban Meyer Show, heading into week number 10. Recapping week number 9, the win over the Buffalo Bills. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer. A 9-6 victory for the Jags, the second win of the season. And to do it here at TIAA Bank Field in such a dramatic fashion, that's got to be a good feeling for this organization.
Well, a great one. And I know I speak for Jeff and former players as well as our current players that the Buffalo Bills are known to travel well, and they did. And I was actually driving in the state in the morning. I thought, oh, no. You know, and I saw nothing but the red, white, and blue stuff around. And but I got to give credit to our fans were outstanding. I mean, our players thrived off it. The fourth quarter, the defensive stands, you know, you play for a lot of reasons. You're energized for each other on the team. But don't fool yourself. You also play for that crowd. And the crowd was awesome. And our vision of packing this place and making it one of the destination places, I'm telling you, we're working our tails off to make this happen.
All right, Urban, I thought the game started out exactly the way all football games should start out. The 159th Fighter Wing of the Air National Guard goodness. Blew the roof off the stadium. Are you kidding me? How awesome was that?
Awesome. Well, I'm a huge military guy because my family and everybody else, and I thought they were going to take out the scoreboard. That's how close Charlie Strong and I looked. I go, my gosh, you know. But that rocked the foundation of the stadium.
Well, and then your defense just played outstanding. I mean, so many guys really stood out, and a lot of people want to jump and say, "Oh, Josh Allen, this." But I mean, heck, Josh Allen, Rudy Ford, Smoot played well. Your defensive tackles played well. Everybody across the board, I thought, played about their best game.
Our two inside linebackers too, Jeff, played their best ball this year. Miles, Jack, and Damian were all over. You know, we transitioned to more. We were 70-30 man zone, and we've transitioned ever since prior to the Dolphins game. You know, we just couldn't. We either made mistakes in evaluating what our players do best, but whatever it was, we just made a transition, and it takes a minute. Very proud of our coaches, most importantly, our players. I saw drills showing up in the game, you know, where you get your depth, you keep your shoulders square, and the ball gets dumped where Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills Josh Allen, does a great job checking the ball down. We were like missiles to the guy with the ball in his hand. And Rudy Ford and the two linebackers, you talk about guys going after the ball. They were fantastic.
Yeah, great tackling job on the perimeter, inside, and one of the things that you guys did, pretty aggressive, and a lot of people think or maybe have the misimpression that you were blitzing and playing man coverage, but you still stayed with the zone concept. A lot of the pressures that you were bringing were a zone blitz.
Yes, and if you notice, we played some zone blitz with two behind it. So the quarterback threw a couple times. I remember Shaq, and I remember Tyson as well. You know, zone blitz a lot of time in the spread offense tells you to throw the bubble. We've done it. And then all of a sudden you throw the bubble and you got a hard corner right up on the receiver's face and you make a tackle for no gain. So, once again, kudos to our staff, but more importantly the players. Boy, they practice their tail off, and it was a great game to be part of.
Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer with us here on the Urban Meyer Show. Let's get to Josh Allen's performance. You know, the last few weeks, statistically, it's starting to come along for him, but he had his career day. 8 tackles, a sack, an interception, a fumble recovery, 2 tackles for loss. He can do a lot of those things. The stats are there. But it was across the board on the defensive line and at linebacker. Guys making plays in the middle of the defense, and then that gives Josh Allen room to go get home.
And it's not coach speak. It's real. When you're holding your coverage like our guys held, so you hear coverage sacks. Does that happen? Absolutely. Most sacks or coverage in the NFL, very rarely you just beat a guy. And when you see a sack happen, it's because the first read, the second read, by the time a quarterback gets to a third read, against a good defensive line, you're in trouble. And that's what you saw Sunday.
Well, I thought in some cases he didn't even get to his second read. Taven Bryan, the first sack that he had a really great swim move and beats the guard and gets a sack. And then Roy Robertson-Harris, who had been slowed by an ankle injury, I thought it was his best game yet as a Jaguar.
And I talked to him. He's still, you know, he's still got to get that sack. He's about a step away. But the thing that Roy gives you, tremendous push inside, plus he's 6'5". and they're doing a much better job of getting their hands up and being a issue with the quarterback. So you're exactly right.
One thing that was, I thought, apparent, might not have been apparent to some, in past games, Urban, including Seattle, where you got caught with 12 men on the field, you would do almost these kind of wholesale substitutions with the defensive front. I didn't see a lot of that against the Buffalo Bills, and that was a noticeable change. And it seemed to give your defensive players kind of the ability to lock in instead of worrying about, am I on the field or am I off the field? Is this guy lining up? Is that guy lining up? Did that have something to do with it?
It sure did, and they worked at it, but it also Buffalo helped us by they're really pretty much one personnel grouping for most of the day. You know, the problem is when the people start coming in and out, and we're working to work hard on that because, you know, we were watching the Colts, and they play some 11 and some 12, but mostly 11. Which is one back, one tight end. But we did work on it, Jeff, but also when the team sits in one grouping, it's a little easier.
You mentioned Rudy Ford, you know, coming up and making tackles on the perimeter and all that. But now it's his third career start. He's been in the league a number of years, obviously a special teams ace up in Philly and now here in Jacksonville too. What went into that decision process to get him on the field at nickel?
Well, he's the best coverage guy I've ever seen in kicking game. And when I say that with great respect to a bunch of my former players. I'm sure I'm going to get text messages if they hear that. But this guy is arguably one of the fastest guys, if not the fastest guy on our team. He is relentless. He's tough as nails. And he works so hard. And so finally, you know, I went into our staff and we kind of made the change. And I know he's not a very experienced man coverage guy. He's learning to play man coverage, but he's one of our better players right now. And all I'm talking about, go ball, hit ball, see ball, you know, see ball, hit ball, that's what he does. And I know our fans enjoy watching it because he doesn't just hit you either. He accelerates his feet on contact. You saw the one where Josh Allen scrambled to his left and flicked the ball to that running back, and the guy come like a shot, and it was number five. Rudy Ford knocked the ball out and, spiked the guy out of bounds, and he's an aggressive player.
And then on the one that Kalavon kind of slowed up the back with the old clothesline move, and all of a sudden here comes Rudy Ford and fast and furious. On the you talk about not very much experience, and man, the interception I think he got against Cole Beasley stepping in front of him was man. Yep. And then on top of that, Urban, you're not taking him off of special teams. I mean, he made a kickoff coverage tackle. So an impressive outing by him. He played his guts out.
Yeah, he had the IV after the game, and, you know, his calf's locked up. And, you know, I know the Jaguar fans appreciate it. He gives everything he's got for us.
We mentioned DeJuan Smoot. Let's get a little bit more into his game as well. And, you know, it just seems like he's Mr. Reliable. You know what you're going to get out of DeJuan Smoot every week, and that's a good thing to have up front.
Yeah, DeJuan Smoot would be the first to tell you, and Josh Allen. This time last year, Josh Allen was, you know, under 250 pounds. And Josh is over 260 right now. He's stronger, is strong. He's actually the way he works, first of all, but our sports performance team works with him. You know, my goal went back in January, I told you, we're going to stay healthy the best we can. And as teams wear down during the season, the best teams I've been a part of that I've had, they're actually stronger by the time you get to bowl season in college. They're stronger when you get to December in the NFL, and we're on pace to do that. You know, we got to stay healthy. We had at one time six starters out on offense, but it wasn't muscle pulls. It's stuff that happens that unfortunately in this game. But Smoot, and to answer your question, Smoot and Josh Allen are benefiting from the sports performance.
Urban will return in just a moment and get into the Jaguars' offensive performance this past week against the Bills. We're off and running. It's the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
And Jaguars Game Day broadcasts are presented by Vistar Credit Union. The Urban Meyer Show continues. JP Shadrick with former Jaguar and Jaguars analyst Jeff Loggeman and Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer joining us. Let's flip it around to the offense. You know, lo and behold, the offense runs out on the field for the first time. Wait a minute, where's Cam Robinson? He's not out there. You knew James Robinson wasn't going to play. Then all of a sudden, the starting left tackle's gone. They've got some injuries, of course, earlier in the season on offense. That was a little bit of a surprise, I would say, before kickoff.
Yeah, not a pleasant one. I really believe James was going to play, and James wanted to play, but he just could not push and make cuts off that heel. You know, he had a good, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, and then Saturday it swelled up, and that was our alarm by our trainer. He was worried, but I still thought he was going to play, and he goes out pregame, and he can't go. So that's one down. And then after warm-ups, we're 15 minutes from game time, they tell me Cam Robinson's out. I walk back in the training room. His back is locked up. And I don't want to say he got an argument with Hop, George Warhop, but I thought, do we go with Will or do we go with Mark Walker Little? Walker Little hasn't played. Will Richardson has been pretty consistent. And he said, Coach, Walker's ready. And I looked at him. I said, he better be. And we're facing number one defense in the NFL. And he actually hung in there. He gave up one sack, one pressure, but he hung in there. And he played really hard. And he's we're really glad we drafted him. And he's going to be around here for a while.
Yeah, Mario Addison, a good football player that he was facing. And that might be the best way to get your first start. You don't know until they say, guess what, you're in. That way you don't have any time for nerves in that situation.
Yeah, I saw his face a little bit, and I was wondering how the best to go about it. My best way I know I handle it is let George Warhop handle it and the offense line surround him. That's a pretty good group. You're down three starters in the offense line. It happened at Miami when we played Miami. Will Richardson went and played. It happened, you know, Brandon Linder's out, A.J. Cann's out, and now Cam Robinson, one of the best, I think, one of the better left tackles. He's out, and our guys did a pretty good job. But we knew that. I thought Bev and Schottenheimer called a good game. I was involved in that because our defense was playing the way they're playing, and we need to take care of the ball and get some good drives going. The thing is we didn't score in the red zone, and we turned that ball over once in the red zone.
And offensively, you guys knew that it was going to be a tough sledding type of day, what I call a lunch pail day, because the Buffalo Bills just so good across all three levels of defense, which is very rare to find in the National Football League in today's day and age of parity.
Yeah, and we, if you look back, it's a tale of missing a couple throws. That, you know, we miss a couple, and Agnew dropped a – C.J. Beathard comes in, which is another story, comes in and drops a dime on the defense, and Agnew's – 20 out of 20 times he catches that ball, and he dropped it. That's a touchdown. Then we had a stutter and go by Marvin Jones on the outside in the fourth quarter. That's a sealer. It's over if he hit that, and we overthrew it. So, you know, we're growing, but we're playing complementary football, which is the best kind of football to play.
And that throw that you talked about to Jamal Agnew, the dime throw, I mean, he's got a defensive tackle bearing down on him and smokes him after he throws it.
Yeah, got a flag.
I mean, that's an impressive play in and of itself. But I thought what was really impressive, Coach, is that you have your starting quarterback get hurt. He leaves the field, goes to the tunnel, and when he comes back, he's ready to go back in. And he is like, I'm talking ready to go back in. Yeah. I love the game, and I love the outcome, but you just found out your quarterback is tough as nails.
Yeah, and I had to grab him. You know, he was running on the field. We already had a play call. And so I said, just, you know, I had to make sure he was warmed up and, you know, all that. You don't just throw a guy in right in the middle of a drive. So we got the first down, and then we went in and put him in. But, yeah, the future is bright with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and then C.J. Beathard comes in pretty much cold. Here he is. He's got to make some throws and keep the offense somewhat moving and steps in a big moment and makes some big-time throws for you.
Yeah, you go back to the whole process of that. Who are you going to take as a quarterback? I wanted Alex Smith. You know, Alex Smith, I knew. I coached him. He's a great veteran. And then he was unable to play. And then you're shopping around, and we just fell in love with CJ because he's tough as nails. He knows the game. He's a great mentor. He's a great leader. And we know he'd be ready on call. Plus, he's a very accurate thrower. You saw that in preseason. So we got the right guy there.
Urban, one thing I think that you can kind of see, even though the offense was a little bit of a struggle on Sunday, is that your coaches are starting to get comfortable with some of the personnel and some of the things that they're doing. First drive of the game, example, Jamal Agnew lines up in the backfield. And, of course, he's wearing a 39, former defensive back, and the Bills are matching up man-to-man. You got a linebacker, Edmonds, who ends up matching up on him, and it's a critical down. And he absolutely runs away from the linebacker. I mean, that was a great play design by your coaching staff, and I think it indicates how much more comfortable they're starting to get.
Yeah, well, Bev brought that to us, and you know, it's a man coverage play. If it's zone, it's not a great one. And so I was standing right next to the official. That was a critical time, fourth and I think two or three. And I said, do you like it? Then he saw the linebacker matched up, and so he went with it. And obviously a big play, great accurate pass. And then if you really watch Agnew, you know, and once again fans and just people that love football, Agnew is one of the toughest cats. If you ever notice, he doesn't run out of bounds. He cups the ball, and we call it clamps the ball, and he throws himself right into the defensive back at the end of that play, setting the tempo of the game.
It's amazing to see what that guy's done in the last 2 years, changing positions here in the NFL. I know you talked about this on Monday briefly, but it's now Tuesday. We're a day closer to Week 10. What's the latest, the exact latest on James Robinson and Cam Robinson this week?
It's all positive. We're going to – and so you have Miles Jack that is a little slowed right now, just his knee, but he's going to be good to go. You have Cam. Every indication is he'll be good to go. Just got to be smart this week in practice. James Robinson, I know he'll be good to go. And Trevor will be good to go. So all good on the injury front as we speak Tuesday.
That's the best news we can hear. We'll come back and take an early look at the Indianapolis Colts on the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer on the Urban Meyer Show. The Jaguars coming off a win over the Buffalo Bills. Have won two of the last three and now headed up to Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis. A 1 o'clock kickoff time in Week 10 for the Indianapolis Colts at 4-5 and the Jaguars at 2-6. This is a running offense in Indianapolis, Urban, with Jonathan Taylor second in the league in rushing yards, in the top five in many other categories. And, you know, we saw this firsthand, what, week 17 logs last year? He runs for about 230 on this team the last week of the season, and he's doing that again this year. He's a real problem.
Yeah, I have experience with him in college. He played at Wisconsin, very fast, really elite back. He's arguably their fastest player. They have T.Y. also at receiver, but he's not as not as active as their tailback. So he's the guy, you know. And obviously, with a bad offense line, great tailbacks aren't very good. They have a very good offense line, and their scheme they spread. You talk about spreading the field now. They use all 53 yards.
Hey, what was your history against him in college? You remember?
Sure. I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Great respect for him, and okay.
Okay.
He's a tremendous player.
Well, I mean, he's a great back, but don't get me wrong. But, Urban, I mean, there's a lot of backs that they have on their roster having success behind that offensive line, right. And it starts with Quentin Nelson. The guy's an absolute stud. Got an excellent center. The tackles, I think, are still on the way to being good. That's a really good offensive line, arguably maybe the best offensive line you guys will face yet this year.
Yeah, the center is really good too. And Quentin Nelson, I sat in his home in New Jersey and tried to recruit him. And he's one that got away from us and went to Notre Dame, had an awesome family. I just love the guy, and he's a rugged player, you know. So a lot of respect for him. And you're right, that's where it starts. Jonathan has a great year so far, but the backup's really good too.
Yeah, the one thing they also do is the wide receivers block. And, of course, so many people don't think about wide receivers blocking in the running game and being a factor. But I've been watching this wide receiver for the Colts for quite some time, Pascal, who went to Old Dominion University, which most people have no idea they even play football there. And he is, I think, one of the best blocking wide receivers in the league.
Yeah, and I actually asked Trent about him, you know, because I'd never heard of him. And I had the same reaction on Monday, when I sat and watched about four games. I walked in and said, my gosh, this guy's he's a really good player too. Not extremely fast, but just, you know, he's a football player. And you can see that all, you know, darn near every snap.
Head coach Urban Meyer with us. Carson Wentz triggers this offense, you know, and he hasn't turned the ball over a lot. There were a couple of key moments a week or two ago it happened, but a guy who's been in the league now for a long time, and if he can manage this offense, he can be very successful.
I actually talked to Shad about him and Trent when I first was hired, you know, what direction we're going and the quarterbacks, and I just have always liked Carson Wentz. You know, I remember watching him play for the Eagles. I thought he's tough, he's athletic, he runs, and he knows how to run an offense. So when the Colts, you know, I was real disappointed when I saw the Colts get him, because I think he's a really good – I've always thought he's a very good player.
Flipping it over to the Colts defense, number one in the National Football League. This kind of seems to be a theme. Last week you kind of faced the same thing with the Colts. Have now 20 takeaways on the season, and leading the way is Darius Leonard, the linebacker, who seems to have taken that role from Peanut Tillman, where he's punching that ball out, and he did it again this week on Thursday night. He's a good football player, and they play good defense.
That really good defense. It starts with Buckner inside the three technique. He's a guy that you have to deal with. And then he's got a 330-pound partner in the middle, number 90, that just they play well. And their linebackers are excellent, and their safety plays excellent too. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing a bad defense. I'm not sure when that's going to happen.
Well, it's not going to be this week. Their defensive coordinator, I've had great respect for. I think he's gotten the most out of what they've had ever since that he's been there. Matt Eberflus, I believe, is his name. And he seems to get the most out of everybody and gets that group playing hard.
You know, the last two, the Buffalo Bills with Leslie Frazier, who I have a lot of respect for, and then this coach, very similar. It's a similar defense. It's not a lot of bells and whistles to it. It's just really good players at the three levels, and they know their defense and they play it well. It's not the chaotic, you know, where you're going to have guys all over the place. They're going to be a 4-3 defense, and they play split safety and one high safety, and that's it. So game planning, it's going to be a lot about matchups.
Going back to the forced fumble situation, 10 fumbles that have been caused and taken away by the Colts defense this year, and Leonard's the guy that punches it out. What else do you say to the offense this week? Offensive players, skill guys with the football. Do you put an extra couple points of emphasis in this week to talk about ball control? How do you do that?
Well, we already had Bevel talk to him, and then we're also going to make a video clip of it to show prior practice tomorrow, and show and actually tell the defensive scout team players or practice squad players to be swinging at the ball, which our defense is getting better. They're swinging at that thing constantly. But we better be locked down with the ball, and that's why I was disappointed. My biggest disappointment last week, we have red zone opportunities, and we're not, you know, twice we walked away without points, missed a field goal, and then a fumble. We can't have that.
Now, one of the things that's I think a joy to watch is the growth process of your young quarterback, and he's getting better. But you know, just like the stock market, the growth never seems to be a perfect arrow going up. There's always ups and downs. What's the one area that you want to see the greatest growth from with Trevor from last week to this week?
Yeah, just third downs and, you know, we can't miss them. You know, when we have this, you know, the NFL is so hard to get open. When you're open, you got to hit them. And I put the same challenge on the receivers. When you are open, you know, help your quarterback out. You know, I thought our tight end did. You know, it wasn't Trevor, but our Dan Arnold made a spectacular catch on the sideline. You know, that's expected. That's not – you're supposed to do that. I can count three or four times, and I even went over to the sideline and kind of got after him. We need, you know, help the guy out. How do you help the guy out? Make your play, man. Get open and make your play.
Coach, final thought here. Coming off a winning result last week, after the first win of the season, there was the bye week. And now it's back-to-back games, getting back to work. What do you expect the mood in the building to be this week in that locker room and the focus moving ahead to Indianapolis?
I already saw it today. You know, yesterday we had something called Victory Meal, which is a new tradition we brought here to Jacksonville. And that's a very nice dinner. You play the highlights of the game and a little fellowship, and then they get out of here. But I walked around. That's my best time of the day, is to walk down the training room and the rehab room and talk to players. And we don't want a bye week. We want to keep going, and I got to be smart how we practice, take care of these guys, and make sure they're full speed on Sunday.
All right, so sports performance model, we got the victory meal. What might be on the menu there?
I always tell people it doesn't matter because we call it victory meal. I'm going to enjoy it. They can put whatever you want, but it's Jeff, you are personally invited to the next one. It's
all
really
right.
Good.
Wait a minute. What,
no,
what was
JP,
that?
You're down the road.
Do we have maybe a ribeye cap on victory meals or something?
There was a ribeye last night, I believe. Yeah, it was really good. And a little lobster mac and cheese,
like
I think.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
JP, you're out. Jeff, you're in.
Maybe one of these days. We're about halfway through the season. Urban, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Head coach Urban Meyer, we're back with more on the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and our thanks to head coach Urban Meyer joining us in the first half hour every week here on the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. And I guess I'm just going to go starve, Logs. I mean, I'm just going to continue to eat crumbs.
JP, I'll get you a to-go box.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Appreciate that. Reheated ribeye.
Oh,
well, I'll take it.
Lobster mac and cheese,
whatever
ribeye. And I think it's pretty cool, though, that they do something like that. You know, it's cool. It's a good way to kind of enjoy the great side of football, which is winning. And it's a way to build camaraderie. So I like that idea. I like the concept. And but here's the critical thing.
Yes.
The food's got to be good.
Well, yeah.
Because if you do it,
throw porridge
and the food
up there,
is junk, okay, it ain't going to work, okay? Because the players in the National Football League, they've got, I don't want to say highbrow taste buds, but.
No, they do.
I mean, they got personal chefs and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So you better make sure the food is good.
Yes, and I'm sure it is after a winning result last week. Maybe I won't know personally for a while, but that's okay. No hard feelings, Urban, of course. Now, another thing that was interesting, what he said, we're talking about Carson Wentz, the Indianapolis Colts quarterback, and he said that he was disappointed when the Colts got him.
Yeah.
They were kind of looking at him a little bit, it felt like.
Well, I get the impression that having, you know, and knowing that there's a relationship between Carson Wentz and Frank Reich, that's the place if Carson Wentz was going to be able to bounce back and revive his career, that would be it. And so I think any time that you have that kind of thing happen in your division, you're always kind of like, dadgummit, wish he'd gone somewhere else, you know, because that's the best chance that Carson Wentz would have of kind of getting back on track. And he's been solid. He hasn't been great, but Carson Wentz has been good. But it's kind of interesting that he alluded to the fact that I don't want to say that they were interested in him, but it certainly gave the impression that they were following what was going on with him.
Yeah, kick the tires. I don't know about kicking the tires, but at least just kind of look at the label on the window.
As if maybe, do we consider signing a guy like that? We know we're going to be able to draft Trevor Lawrence. We know we're drafting Trevor Lawrence. Is this a guy that we can have in-house as somebody to help groom Trevor Lawrence to maybe play for a little bit until he's ready? I mean, I don't know what the thought process was, but interesting comments that he had and very honest. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and that's the thing with Urban on shows like this, press conferences. We've seen and heard him throw out what he thinks a lot of times or what he doesn't know about certain
things. Right,
he's been forthright on a lot of things.
He's been good, and he's been good on his show, and he's definitely, I don't want to say he's an open book, but you ask him a good question, he's going to give you an honest answer, and I appreciate that.
Let's come back. We'll take a look at this Jaguars offense, and we're going to get some answers out of you.
You've been asking for answers for a while, JP.
I'm going to keep asking.
JP, here's the one positive thing. Last week you told me that I was going to give you answers for that Jaguars defense, and I think they answered it for you this week. It's about performance, execution, and making sure that you're ready to go.
Okay, that's the defense. We're going to call it offense, though. We still got questions that we need answers
to. Okay, well, some of those answers might not be available until...
Oh, well, don't kill the whole segment. We're back after this. It's the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
We're back. The Urban Meyer Show rolls along. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer with us in the first half hour every Tuesday on the Jaguars Radio Network. Coming off a dub. The Jags have won two out of the last three. They're on to Indianapolis to face.
Everything's perspective.
Right.
Right?
No,
the Jaguars have won two out of their last three.
Was I incorrect?
Or you can say the Jaguars won two out of their last 23.
That's right, but I didn't. Hey, we're going positive. The glass is half full right now.
I like it. I like the positivity.
Fix the offense, Logs. Go.
You got to have the growth of a quarterback continue to happen. You got to acquire more talent around him, and you have to have better execution. Pretty simple.
That's it, huh?
It's easy.
It's
easy.
Okay. It's all about perspective, I guess, though, right? Okay, right?
I do know this, and that not having James Robinson, and this is, I mean, Captain Obvious right here, okay?
Well,
not having James Robinson hurts significantly.
Really?
And the wide receivers and the quarterback both need to do a much better job. There's not a lot of separation. The coaches have to do a better job. They need to get and find what they had earlier in the season, but maybe not to that degree, in that they were aggressive and vertical. And they backed off on that a lot because the turnover machine was just getting out of hand with Trevor's interceptions. But you still have to have that element of the game. It works. And I think that they have, I don't want to say they've shied away from it, but they've backed away from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you still have to have it. You know, obviously the stutter go with Marvin Jones Jr. was there. That's a vertical element of the game. You had a deep ball to Jamal Agnew that C.J. Beathard threw. That's a deep ball. But you got to start connecting on some of these things because it becomes harder and harder. The less you attack the vertical part of the defense, it becomes harder every week to be able to have success. Mm-hmm. Because the defenses don't respect it.
Yeah, you don't have to play
if you're
back
not
there.
Attacking it. No. If you're not forcing them to cover the entirety of the field, it becomes harder as an offense.
Now, do you believe there's some offensive minds, coordinators that think, you know what, we're going to take six shots a game no matter what, throw it down the field?
Al Davis.
Right?
I mean, the late Al Davis.
No matter if we hit him or not, just to back everybody away.
You take the late Al Davis, and he would walk into his coach every week, I'm sure, and tell him, throw the ball deep six times a game, and I don't care because if you don't do it, I'm going to fire you.
That he would.
And he would.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's – look, I mean, Al Davis was a smart man. I mean, it wasn't like he was just a meddling owner. Al Davis knew football.
He was a coach, yeah.
And the reason why he wanted a vertical element to his offense, no matter who the coach was with the Raiders, was because he was right. You have to have that type of element to your offense. So can the Jaguars find it? I mean, they got to find a way. And here's the thing, they've got to start trying to find different solutions. In my opinion, okay, what I mean by that, okay, you've tried Tavon Austin, you haven't had a lot of great success with him. Okay, you've tried the wide receiver that they just signed last week to the active roster,
Laquon Treadwell, right?
Okay, have you gotten many results out of that? No,
Tyron Johnson.
No,
another one.
Was inactive this past game because, you know, in Seattle he had some mental errors and he's got super speed, but if you have mental errors, you can't play. So I think the next step is to say, okay, it's not working here. Let's try a different possible solution, which means elevate one of your practice squad guys.
Okay.
You know, Cotton, okay, bring him up. You got another guy on there that was with you in training camp from Florida.
Josh Hammond.
Hammond. Okay, let's give him a shot, see if he's going to do anything. You know, I mean, it comes a point to where you've got to try something different, I think, if it's not working for you. And we'll see what happens. Maybe they do.
All right, so one of the big national stories today around the NFL, the waiver wire came through at 4 o'clock. Odell Beckham Jr. was not claimed by any team, and for the first time in his career, he is a free agent. Would you dare? Why or why not?
Would I? I would absolutely have a conversation with him and his people. Because he has been exceptional. I mean, exceptional. And he hasn't been great recently in Cleveland. In fact, you can see that him and Baker Mayfield weren't exactly on the same page, and I don't think there's any love lost between the two of them. Odell is one of those guys that wants and expects the ball. That can be a problem at times. Is he a diva? He's about as close of a thing as you can get to it. But can you handle that personality? Typically, to handle a personality like that, you have to have a very strong locker room. Do you have a strong enough locker room? Do you have a strong enough foundation in your building to handle a guy like that? That's a challenge.
Yeah.
And so that's got to be a big consideration to figure out whether or not you want to have a guy like that come in or not.
And it's just over $7 million, and he wouldn't probably be ready to go this week. So 8 games remaining, a rental, basically a 1-year deal, and there's no guarantee he's going to be back after this season. That's a lot of money going out the door. I know there's room and salary cap, but it's still real money going out the door.
Well,
for 8 games,
you definitely kick the tires. And because the last thing you want is, you know, you didn't want to claim him on waivers, because then it could be a problem.
Yeah, if he doesn't want to be here,
doesn't show up, then you're looking at a major problem, and you don't want to have that. So you want to have people. You always want people that want to be here, and so Do you have a conversation with him now? Yeah, you got to find out whether or not he wants to be here.
Well, there's reports earlier today that his number one choice would be the Packers.
Well, he wants to play for a proven quarterback.
Yeah, has a chance to win.
And to play for a contender. And I don't blame him. Everybody wants to do that, to play for a team that's got a good chance of winning at all. Who wouldn't? Especially when you're a veteran player and you're going to have the ability and the flexibility of determining where you want to go because you're going to be a free agent. I'm not mad at him.
No.
Shoot. I mean, look, that's
the whole point.
I mean,
free
that's
agency.
Why the system is there. Yeah. And he goes through the waiver process. Anybody could have claimed him. Nobody did. And probably smartly so. And so now he will be able to choose where he wants to go and what money he wants. Now, he's not going to be able to determine what money he gets. He can say whatever he wants. But, you know, Green Bay may be his desired destination, but Green Bay may say, hey, we'd love to have you, but here's our number.
Yeah.
And it may not match to what he wants, you know, so he's going to have to make a determination at that point. Is he comfortable with it? And, okay, money, okay? And because this may be part of the decision, yeah. It may not be. Yeah, the money right. May be great.
That's right.
To go to a contender. But then again, the money may not be.
And I misspoke. The $7 million would have been if they claimed him.
$7.25.
Now it's free. It's now a new contract. Matter. Yeah, so
doesn't
whatever.
Matter.
And whatever would be the case. All right, when we return, we'll go on the defensive side. You gave us a lot of answers last week. And they came through and followed them to a T and got the win. Now it's about moving ahead on the defensive side of the football. That's all coming up in just a moment. And this is the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber. Glad you're along with us on the Urban Meyer Show today. The Jaguars head coach joining us in the first half hour every week at 5 o'clock here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Logs, you gave us some answers last week on defense.
Hmm.
And the Jaguars defense went out there and did it. They stood tall. They stared down the top-scoring offense in football and held them to 6 points,
pretty
sacked
good.
The quarterback 4 times, took the ball away 3 times, and they had 2 all season coming in. I mean, this was almost like they were, you know, embarrassed and by the performance in Seattle, like Miles Jack said.
Well, it was a great defensive effort. Even you hold a high-powered offense like that to essentially what was season lows across the board, you know, points and yards and efficiency of their quarterback. It was all great. You get, like you talked about, you get 3 takeaways as a team against a team that had only turned the ball over 5 times on the entire
right.
season.
Yeah.
Those are all great numbers, and that's what it took to win. And the Jaguars played aggressive, and that's what you got to do when you're playing a good team when you haven't been playing well there. I think they were aggressive from the standpoint of they went for it on some 4th downs. They played an aggressive style of defense, and they brought some zone blitzes, and they just played hard. And I think that's the number one thing, is that if you play hard, you always have a chance, and they played hard.
Is that type of performance sustainable this week? Can they do that same thing again? I mean, it's a Colts team that can run the football.
It's hard to say that a performance like that is sustainable, and it's hard to believe that it can be. But here's the thing. You've now shown to yourselves that you can play at that level.
Yeah.
And that if you play well and do this and do that, then the results can be there. And I think that's so important for the confidence of any team. And I think that's the best aspect of that performance. Okay, now you know you can play every week, every Sunday, you can compete against anybody. You know, so that's the most positive aspect from that. Now, will they come out and hold Indianapolis to 6 points? I mean, that's, you know, come on. That's not easy to do against anybody. And so, but I think this is a very good matchup this week for the Jaguars. One, you're coming off a game where I think you've gained a lot of confidence. Number two, the Colts have a quarterback who needs to be a manager, that needs to have a strong running game. And the Jaguars are very good against the run. And, you know, one thing that I think is impressive, the Jaguars defense last year was 30th in the National Football League against the run. 30th.
Yes, they were. That's not good. There's 32 teams.
You're a genius.
I know. That means they're not good.
They're 12th this year.
12th, yeah.
That's significant improvement. Last year, they had 18 sacks on the season. What do they got this year, 15?
I mean, they're up there now. They're getting close.
They got, I'll tell you what they got. They've got 15.
Yeah.
So.
It's good.
I mean, look, they've improved on defense. There's no doubt about it. They've got to still continue to find ways to affect the quarterback, which has been haunting this defense all season. But they did it against the Bills and against the best number one scoring offense in the league.
They did. By the way, the run defense, you're right, 12th in the league overall, but per running play, they're third in the league.
That's right.
Under 4 yards per carry allowed. Now, that can all get skewed in a hurry, as we know, against a guy like Derrick Henry, because he can rip off an 80-yarder. Well, Jonathan Taylor can do the same thing. Yeah. If you let him get loose, he had a 70-yarder last week on Thursday night. You know, he's a guy, and he's done it against this team before. Last season, week 17.
He's a big back.
He can run. He's got it all. I mean, yeah, he's got speed and everything.
He's 228 pounds, I think, 230, something like that. I mean, he's not Derrick Henry.
No.
Weighs in at, you know, 247, 250. But he's got power, he's got speed, and he's got size. And those are three great combinations for a running back. And I like the way he handles his business. You know, he's a kind of a quiet, confident, doesn't talk a lot, lets his play speak. And look, the Colts have another good back that's kind of in their stable, and that's Marlon Mack, who really can't see the field because this guy's so good.
And then you got Nyheim Hines in the passing game out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's a receiver more than he is anything.
Right, he's had more success catching the ball against the Jaguars historically.
Yeah,
than
but hell,
he
had six carries for 74 yards Thursday.
I'm saying, you said he last Thursday night he was pretty good.
Yeah.
They were all pretty good Thursday night. When you score 45 points, everybody's doing everything right.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say about that game is, first of all, I've always been a fan of Robert Saleh. You know, he was here. Linebacker coach here. He got that Jets team to fight back. You know, to where it wasn't a complete boat race.
They
didn't quit.
Over, yeah.
They didn't quit, and they fought back, and they fought back hard. And so I give the Jets credit, and I give Robert credit because, you know, he's the leader and he's the one that gets them to play like that.
PRI Productions, the Southeast full-service event company, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com and learn more. We're back in just a few moments with our final thoughts on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the Urban Meyer Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Urban Meyer Show continues along the Jaguars Radio Network.
We're back. This is the Urban Meyer Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Final moments of today's program. The Jaguars face the Indianapolis Colts in Week 10, the division rival. Well, it's Tennessee's division to lose, I think, right now. The way they played on Monday night, my goodness, they
impressive.
Went and slapped the Rams around.
I kind of like the Jaguars-Buffalo game. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, my gosh.
In L.A.
Wow.
On their turf.
I don't think anybody was. I mean, without Henry and the whole thing.
Credit to Tennessee and Mike Vrabel, who I think is an excellent coach. I mean, he does a good job. He does a really good job, I think. I think he's one of the better young coaches that there is in the league.
Yeah.
And he's won a lot of football games without a premier quarterback.
The Colts, with that performance on Thursday night, couldn't gain any ground. I mean, they're three games back, and we're about halfway home in the division, and they've already lost twice to Tennessee.
Hey, the door is not closed.
I know it's not, but they got to start making up some ground in the next little while. And if you're a Colts team, defending your home turf this week, key against a team that's still trying to fully kind of figure things out.
And the Colts get a little extra rest.
That's right.
Remember, they played on Thursday night against the Jets, so they should feel much better.
Jags by 40. That's my prediction.
Okay, great. I'm all for it. But here's the thing, JP. They haven't scored over 23 points in a game.
I'm just telling you. This is the one, Logs.
I'm all for it. But they've got to find a few more answers on offense before they start worrying about scoring 24.
I agree.
Our thanks to head coach Urban Meyer. Logs, have a great week. We'll talk to you, man. That's Jeff Logaman, our entire crew, Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber, I'm JP Shadrick. This is the Urban Meyer Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.